bless everything that is said and done. As we lift up Jesus Christ, we pray that each one of us will be drawn closer to Jesus. Help us all to realize tonight that it's not the sin in our lives that is the problem, but the whole problem is, how's my relationship with Jesus? Jesus can save us, set us free. And Lord, tonight we want to follow You. What Your Word says is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, we're going into the Word. Reformation marches on, an exciting subject in the Bible that we're going to look at tonight. You know, as Paul Harvey would say, now I share with you the rest of the story. Well, you know, a lot of people have asked me my story, the rest of my story, and I'm going to share that tonight as we go into the Word, the rest of the story. And I want to share with you why I am where I am tonight, how the Lord has led in my life when it comes to churches and so forth, and how I've walked with Jesus over these years, and I just want to share that with you. You know, here's what I found in this old world. You can actually find a church someplace that believes the way you do, even though it may contradict the Bible. Did you know that? There are so many churches and denominations today that you can find a church that just fits your lifestyle. And I'm talking about you can live in sin and whatever, and hey, you will find a church that teaches that's all right. But that's not what we're looking for tonight. We want to find out what the Bible says, amen? What does God say about His people? What happened during the Reformation time? What about His people in the time of the Reformation? And I want to dedicate this message. Let me just share with you some things about some of the people during the Reformation. I want to dedicate this to them tonight. Erasmus, a man of God, died July the 11th, 1536. Tyndale, here was a man that helped to get the Bible in the language of the people. Wow. What a man of God. October 6, 1536. Miles Coverdale, February the 19th, 1568. John Rogers, January 29, 1555. Patrick Hamilton, February 1528. John Hooper, February the 9th, 1555. Martin Luther, what a man of God who loved the Lord and he translated the Bible for the people. February the 18th, 1546. Thomas Cranmer, March 21, 1556. John Fox, April 18, 1587. John Calvin, May 27, 1564. John Launder, July 23, 1555. 70,000 Huguenots. One day, August 24th, 1572. Ulrich Zwingli, October 11, 1531. Nicholas Ridley, October 15, 1555. And Hugh Latimer, October the 16th, 1555. Of course, this is a partial list of the millions. They say over 50 million Christians lost their lives during that time because they wanted to follow this book and man wanted to destroy them. I dedicate it to these men and women who stood for the Word of God. And I pray tonight that each one of us, by God's wonderful grace, will be willing to stand for the Word of God. Take your Bibles. Go with me to the book of Ephesians over in the New Testament. As we share the rest of the story, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, and then Ephesians chapter 4. Hundreds and hundreds of denominations, people teaching and believing this or that. And you can, as I've already mentioned, you can find a church that teaches a certain way, even though it goes against the Word of God. But what does God say about His truth? Ephesians 4, look at verse 5. One Lord, one what? Faith, one baptism. Now, we've already talked about the one true baptism by immersion. We spoke about that here a couple of weeks ago and how important baptism is. But here the Bible says one faith, one God, one faith, one baptism. You know, I looked up the word faith in the dictionary, and the word faith has a definition. It goes like this: a set of principles believed in and followed. So what is the one faith of the Lord Jesus Christ? I believe it's this book right here. People often ask me, John, what do you believe in? I'll say, well, I believe in the Bible. Yeah, but what do you teach? Well, I teach the Bible. Yeah, but what are your doctrines? Well, the book of Genesis, all the way through the book of Revelation. Well, what's the truth? The truth is this book right here, amen. This is God's truth. And that's what we want to follow. And this is the one faith. If it says it, then I believe it, amen. What does God say? That's what's important. Let's go to another verse. Look with me at Revelation chapter 12. The book of Revelation, chapter 12. Here in the book of Revelation, we find that God has a people. Listen to it. Verse 17. Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. And the dragon. Now, who is the dragon in the Bible? All right. Verse 9, that same chapter, says it's the devil. All right, let's look at it here. And the devil, or the dragon, was wroth with the woman. What does a woman represent in the Bible? Church. Now, isn't that interesting? That a woman in the Bible represents the church. Now, there are two women mentioned in the book of Revelation. One woman is okay, a good woman. The devil hates her. The other one, the devil doesn't mind her. And she's called the great whore of Revelation, and she does all kinds of bad things, which also represents a church. And so here in the Bible, we find the devil is angry with the woman. He went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. You know, I mentioned the other night that we were going to trace God's people from the time of Jesus all the way through the ages, all the way down to tonight. And we're going to do that here in a few minutes. But before we do that, I want to look at some other verses that talks about God's people. Let's go to another one. Go with me over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. Old Testament, right before the book of Jeremiah. Isaiah, chapter 43. And look here at verse 10. The book of Isaiah, chapter 43. And look with me at verse 10. Here it tells us what God's people will do. Listen to this. You are my, what's that next word? Witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Believe me, there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. What God is saying here is, He says, you're my witnesses. God's people will be a witnessing people. And I believe that means that everywhere you go in the world, you will find God's people. From the ends of the earth, God's people will be witnessing, sharing the Word of God. And we'll look at that in more detail here in a few minutes. Let's go over to the book of Ephesians again. Again tonight, we're going to learn some of the books of the Bible. New Testament, Galatians, and then Ephesians chapter 5. And look here at verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. The Bible's talking about His people, and this is what He says. You were sometimes darkness. How many here have ever lived in darkness? All of us have. If we've, without Christ, we're in darkness, aren't we? But listen to what it says. You were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Do what? Walk as children of light. Hey, if we're going to call upon Christ, if we're going to claim to be Christians, then we should live the Christian life. And here the Lord says clearly that we are the children of the Lord, walk as children of light. Let's go to another one. Look at another verse with me. Look at the book of John, chapter 8. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John, chapter 8. Here's a promise. Here He talks about His people. Listen to the promise. Listen to His about His people. John 8, beginning with verse 30. John 8, verse 30. As He spake these words, many believed on Him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If you continue in My Word, then are you My what? Disciples. If you continue in My Word, when we receive truth from this book and we follow it, then we're walking in the light, amen? But look at the next verse. Oh, I love this verse. Verse 32. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall do what? How many here want to be free tonight? Oh, I do. And the Lord promises, He says, if you continue in My Word, that means follow what we know to be right, we'll know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. You know, I've learned over the years, and I'm sure that many of you have, that true freedom comes inside when we know we're doing what God wants us to do. When we're not following the Lord, it's miserable. It causes us to have problems. But when we step out by faith and say, Lord, I'm going to follow You, I'm going to walk with You, it does something for you inside. And that's that true freedom when we're walking with Jesus. I want to be free in Christ. Amen. Turn me to 2 John. Not St. John, 2 John, right before the book of Revelation. Some of these people over the years who have asked me the question, what do you believe in? What do you teach? I teach the Bible. But what are your doctrines? Well, the doctrines of Genesis to Revelation. Yeah, but why do you preach doctrines? Why don't you just preach the Gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And just preach that. But listen to what the Bible says about Jesus. 2 John, verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and who? And the Son. What are the doctrines of Christ? Here it is. The book of Genesis. All the way through the book of Revelation. Amen. These are the doctrines of Christ. He is the Word, isn't He? He's the light. He's the Word. Now somebody says, John, I can't do it. There's too much in here. I can't follow it all. No, you can't. But Jesus living in the life can. Amen. It's one of my favorite texts. Look at Hebrews chapter 8. Go with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 8. I tell you the battles we go through in life. I'm just going to throw in a little commercial here, okay? I want to tell you what happened to you. You know, being a minister of the gospel and preaching, and you meet so many people, you kind of confess to people. Did you know that? You know, ministers do that. They do that. They tell you their life story. They tell you what's happening to them all the time. And some people don't get tired of that because they get a minister that all he wants to talk about is his stories, and he forgets to talk about the Bible. So I'm going to do both, okay, so you won't hate me too much. But anyway, yesterday I was at home and I had some appointments that I had to get back up here. And so, but I found out that we had one of the bathrooms, the toilet was messed up on the inside of the tank, and that little float thing wasn't working right, and the water was just kept running. So my wife said, "Now you take care of this, please, before you leave." And I'm thinking, man, I'll break this, I'll mess this thing up big time. So I get a little paper in a phone book or something. It's called the handyman. You ever heard of handyman? And so handyman comes over. I give him a call and he comes over. Bless his heart, he wasn't much of a handyman. He messed up things. He broke something else inside the tank. And he couldn't get down there behind the fix that turned the water off. And he got it to leaking and he said, "Oh, I didn't do that." Well, he did do it anyway. And as a long story short, man, I had to do the work. And he just stood back there and told me what to do because he couldn't get down there to do it. So anyway, I went through that. Man, I was all, because I had to get back up here. And he was supposed to have been there at 10, and he came a little late. And he was supposed to be gone by 12, and he was around to about 1:32 because he had to go around and get some more parts after he broke something else. We got that done. And I put a little plastic bowl underneath because I was afraid it was going to leak some more, you know. And so I'm in a hurry to get back up here. Jump in my truck and I'm heading, and I haven't had any lunch and I was really hungry. So I'm eating as I'm driving and I'm on the phone saying, don't do this. You know, there's two things in life that really bothers me, and that's people who talk on cell phones in the car and people who ride the left lane all the time. You know what I'm talking about? And so here I'm doing what I dislike. And I'm going and I'm in a hurry. And down there where I live, they're working on the road there, and they're building this new road around the dam, Lake Mary. It's a big lake there. And they got this road they're building across it. And I'm eating and I'm on the phone and I'm talking to people. And I see something up above and I realize it's a policeman. And I didn't have my safety belt on. And he steps out in the middle of the road. and stops me. And of course pulls me over. And I'm thinking, I am doomed. This is a work area. And I didn't even know how fast I was going because I was on the phone. He walks up to my window and he says, 35 miles on, you're going 47. You know, that's double. You know what I'm talking about? Ticket-wise, when it's a work area, they can sock it to you. He's standing there writing out something. I'm thinking, Lord, what is he writing out? He's writing me a ticket. That's going to be about $200. This is the most expensive lunch I've ever had. You know, and so he hands it to me, and it's a warning. He said, I see your name's Earnhardt. I said, yes, sir. I said, by the way, are you a fan? He smiled real big. He said, yeah, I am. And I said, well, great, man. And I was looking for pictures, you know, autographed pictures, and I was giving him all kind of stuff. And because after I saw it was a warning, I was willing to give him my truck, you know. I mean, and then I'm coming on up the road, and I forget what else happened. It was something else took place. And you get stressed out, don't we? You know where I want to be in my Christian walk? I want to get to the place to where I don't care what happens, I praise Him anyway. Praise Him for the messed up toilet. Praise Him when the car breaks down. Praise Him when the police stops. And praise the policeman too. But just praise, you know, praise the Lord when you go through these trials and things. Praise Him anyway. Amen? Oh, that was a commercial. Now back to the Bible. Hebrews chapter 8, turn with me, you got to see this. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind. I'll write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. What a promise. God says, I want to write my law in your hearts and your minds, okay? You know, He wants to take care of us. He wants to lead and guide us ever closer to Him. Look at Titus. You're in Hebrews. Just turn back just a few books, a few pages. You see Philemon right before Hebrews, and then there's Titus chapter 2. Listen to what God says about His people. Titus 2 verse 14. Who gave Himself... By the way, that policeman showed mercy to me. You know that? You know, I go through so many experiences in life, and over again, I'm able to compare that with the mercies and the grace of God. You know, I was guilty, wasn't I? I broke the law. Even I should have been paying attention. I wasn't looking at the speedometer. I knew it was a work area, but I was in a hurry. I was talking. I was eating. And here I am driving down the road. I was doing everything wrong. I was breaking the laws completely. And He showed mercy and grace to me. Isn't that what God did for us? Boy, we goofed, haven't we? We're a bunch of... we're a bunch of goose, but I won't say it that way. Anyway, you know, we make mistakes all the time. And my God is so, so merciful. And He says, I want to write my law in your hearts and in your mind. And then He says this, look at Titus 2 and verse 14, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. God wants to have a people that's different. Wow. Now, how do you like that word, peculiar? A lot of people don't like that word. The Lord says we're peculiar. What does that mean? It doesn't mean anything bad in this sense. It means something good. It means different from the world. We want to follow Jesus. We want to walk with Christ. Oh, look at another one. Way back over in the First Peter. Well, let's stay right here in the New Testament. Look at First Peter. Go back to Hebrews, keep going, James, and then 1 Peter. Look at chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Now this is what the Lord thinks about us. Listen to this. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. You're a chosen generation. Come on, saints, do you like that? I love it when the Lord says, hey, you're chosen. A royal priesthood. And holy nation. Here's that word again. A peculiar people that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. God has called me and you to share with people we come in contact with the marvelous light. Amen. Share, share, share. You should be a witness. Let's go to Revelation 18. Ah, what a verse. Revelation 18 is talking about Babylon. Verse 4 here. Revelation 18, verse 4. Talking about Babylon. Talking about the false woman. The false church. And here's what he says. Revelation 18, verse 4. I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues." Now you talk about a merciful God. God says that the majority of His people are still in Babylon, and Babylon means confusion, and God says, "Come out of her, my people." He calls them my people. Wow. His people are in Babylon. Look at Revelation 14. Verse 12, here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now we're going to look at that text in more detail here in a few minutes because, hey, God has a people. He says it very clearly. He's got a people that He loves and He wants them to follow Him. Let's go to Revelation chapter 12. I want to do a little study here tonight real quick in Revelation chapter 12. What I want to do is I want you to follow along with me as we trace God's people from the time of Jesus. Now, sometimes in the Bible, God will give a prophecy, and it may have more than one meaning. It may be a symbolic meaning, and there may be a spiritual meaning, and there may be a literal meaning also. So I want you to see this in Revelation 12. Look at verse 1. Just follow along with me. Revelation 12, verse 1. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman. Here's another woman. What does a woman represent in the Bible? Church. This woman's a good woman. It says she's clothed with the sun and moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. She being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. There appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. Hey, don't miss this. This is the same beast of Daniel 7. Same beast of Revelation 13. Same beast of Revelation 17. And there's a wonder. He says, hey, behold, a great red dragon. Who's the dragon in the Bible? The devil. And the devil is working with this false woman, this red dragon with all these horns. And then it says this in verse 4, his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, two things are taking place here. There's a symbolism. Yes, the devil, it's talking about the devil wanting to devour the child. But it's also talking about that great Roman Empire. You know the story. Christmas story, remember? The Christ child is born. King Herod decides he'll have all the babies killed from the age of birth up to 2 years of age because he wanted to destroy the Christ child. So you can see the symbolism here. You see the woman that represents the church, but the woman also represents Mary who would bring into the world the church, or Jesus Christ, I should say. Mary was chosen because she loved God. Look at verse 5. Here's what it says. Revelation 12, 5. She brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was called up unto God and to His throne. Boy, there's a lot of history in that one verse, isn't it? Because Jesus, the Christ child, the devil tried to have Him killed. But He walked among men. He went to the cross. He resurrected for me and you. He went to heaven. And then His disciples were left here, filled with the Holy Ghost, to proclaim the gospel. And the church was formed. Boy, the church went through a lot of things. Did you know that? The devil wasn't finished. The devil even tried to destroy all the apostles, all the disciples. By the way, the 12 disciples, out of all 12 of them, only one of them died a old age death. That was John. And they even tried to kill him. History tells us they tried to cast him into a pot of boiling oil. And then that didn't kill him, and they took him over to the island of Patmos, the Bible says, and they took him over to the island of Patmos and they dropped him off, thinking that he'd just die over there on that island. And you know what he said? I love it. John says, hey, William, I'm going to tell you something. I was dropped off on the island of Patmos for the Word of God so I could write the book of Revelation. That's looking at it in a positive way, amen? They drop him off and he says, hey, I'm here for a purpose, so I might as well. And Lord, guide and lead me, I'll write the book of Revelation. He did, under the inspiration of God. That's looking at something bad and turning it into something great. But then look what verse 6 says of Revelation 12. The woman fled into the wilderness. Wow. Now we're talking about the church for sure, because it says she fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. 1,260 days. When you're dealing with Bible prophecy, Ezekiel 4:6, Numbers 14:34, the Bible says one day equals a year. So you got 1,260 days, that'd be 1,260 what? Years. That the church was to be in the wilderness. Now wait a minute, it's interesting how the Bible uses this. In Revelation 13, it says 42 months. Now, here's what's interesting. 42 months in a Jewish calendar, there are 30 days to a month. If you multiply 42 months times 30, that equals 1,260 years. But in this same chapter in Revelation 12, look down at verse 14. Notice how verse 14 brings this out. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, times, and half a time from the face of the serpent. Now here's what's interesting. A time is 1 year, times is 2 years, and the dividing of time is half a year. That's 3 1/2 years. Now wait a minute, you got 42 months, that equals 1,260 years. You got 1,260 years, and you got 3 1/2 years. There's 360 days to a Jewish calendar. If you multiply 3 1/2 times 360, that equals 1,260 years. All of these prophecies are the same. But now, don't miss this. How many years was the Antichrist to reign before he received a deadly wound? Same. 1,260 years. You find it in the book of Daniel. You also find it in the book of Revelation. So the church was to be in the wilderness in hiding the same amount of time that the Antichrist was in power persecuting the church. Let me give you a little history. We go all the way back to what took place over in Europe. Now, I don't know about you, but my forefathers, and most of us here tonight, can trace our forefathers back to the persecution that took place in Europe. So one day I decided I'm going to take the name Earnhardt and see how far back I can take it. And I was able to go all the way back to Germany, and my forefathers, the Earnhardts, were being persecuted by the Catholic Church like many, many others were being persecuted. And they decided they'd flee to America, and they fled to America over here to have freedom of religion. Thank God for the United States of America, amen, for the freedoms that we have. You know, everybody, if you ever get a chance to go to another country, you're going to find that everybody wants to come to the United States. They think this is the promised land. They think this is paradise. And I mean, we have our problems too. But praise God for the United States of America. Our forefathers came here to have freedom of religion. And as I began to trace back my forefathers, I found out that they were members of the Moravian movement. And there is a story about John Wesley, that great man of God who started the Methodist Church. He was on a boat one time coming over to the United States, and he was with a group of Moravians. And there was a storm, a terrible storm. And John Wesley really thought that he was going to lose his life out there in the sea, as the waves began to beat against the boat. But he noticed something. The Moravians were just as calm as could be. And he quizzed them. He asked them. He said, why are y'all so calm? Aren't you fearing your life that you're going to die here on the water? And they said, we serve the God of heaven. And our God has a plan. And He will take care of us. And they got to shore safely. But it changed John Wesley's life. He realized that our God is so big, He can do anything. Amen? He can do it. God's got a plan for my life, your life, just like He did their life. Sad to say, the Moravians at one time had the truths of God's Word, but even they began to turn around and head back toward Rome. We need to follow Jesus Christ instead of following man. Amen? What does the Bible say? Let's read on here. You're in Revelation 12. Look at verse 15. The serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman. All right, I'm going to stop here for just a moment because I'm going to have to take you way back to one of our other meetings. Here's what's so beautiful. All the beasts in Daniel and Revelation, the four beasts, came up out of the what? Out of the water. Water represents Revelation 17, 15, nations, tongues, and people. But there in Revelation 13, verse 11 and 12, was another beast that came up out of the what? Earth. The sea represents a lot of people. Earth represents just the opposite, an unpopulated area of the world. We talked about this one night when we talked about the mark of the beast and the United States of America in Bible prophecy. And it all comes together. Don't miss this. It all comes together. The Antichrist was to reign for 1260 years, which ended. He received his deadly wound in 1798, and that's when persecution of the Christians basically came to a close. Over 50 million Christians lost their lives. And it was during that same time that people fled to America to have freedom of religion. And the Bible says the earth helped the woman. Isn't that amazing? But wait a minute. There's something left here we can't miss. If that's around 1798, look at the next verse, verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman. The devil made war with the woman, went to make war with the remnant. It has to be after 1798. With the remnant of her seed which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. All right, we've got to stop here for a moment. It's after 1798 because the Antichrist received its deadly wound. The earth helped the woman. The people fled to America during the 1700s and 1800s to have freedom of religion. And then it says, the dragon was wroth with the woman, went to make war with the remnant. Anybody here ever make clothes or made clothes in the past? We got any carpet people here that ever laid carpet? Boy, you know, you go down to the cloth store, you go down to the carpet store, and you walk inside. A few years ago, I needed a piece of carpet for my little travel trailer, little trailer that I pulled behind my truck and so forth. And I went in there to find a piece of carpet, and I saw a sign. It said remnant. I thought, hey, ought to be a good deal on the remnants. And those of you who make clothes, you know what I'm talking about. You go in the store and you see a sign that says remnant. What does that mean, remnant? It's what's left over. It's what's left over. But don't miss this. It's always what's left at the end of the bolt of material. But for it to be at the end, it was put on when? First. So it's the original in the sense that it's the same truth that has always been since the beginning of time. Because truth does not change. And God says, this will be a remnant people who will arise and they will keep the commandments of God and they will have the testimony of Jesus Christ. All right, we know what the commandments are, the 10 commandments, 1 through 10. Thou shalt have no other gods. Thou shalt not make any graven images. Thou shalt not take God's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it. Holy work 6 days, rest the seventh day. Honor father and mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. I mean, thou shalt not steal. I may have left that one out. But there's all the Ten Commandments. We know what they are. But what is the testimony of Jesus Christ? Hold your finger right here and turn to Revelation 19. Revelation 19, look at verse 10. And God says this, I fell at His feet to worship Him. And He said unto me, see thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. God says His people will keep the commandments of God and will have the spirit of prophecy, which is one of the spiritual gifts found in the gifts of the Spirit. Praise God. But what about all those other gifts? We're going to look at that here probably a little later as we continue to study. But I want you to see something. God's got a people, there's no doubt. But did you know that the Bible even tells us what that message will be that His people will proclaim to the world? Look at Revelation 14. I want you to see the message. Revelation 14, beginning here with Revelation 14, and look at verse 6. Follow along with me. Listen to this. Revelation 14, 6. I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred, tongue and people. Now don't miss this. Somebody said to me some time ago, they said, John, you should just preach the gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. I said, listen to me. I preach more than the gospel. I preach the everlasting gospel. And what is the everlasting gospel? It's going to go, verse 6 says here, Revelation 14, it's going to the whole world. Look at the next verse. It tells us what that message is. Saying with a loud voice, fear God. Let's stop right here. We've got to find out what this means. Part of God's last message is to fear God. We're to tell people to fear God. Now, you know, most of us probably have been brought up that, hey, you better fear God. The devil's on one shoulder and the Lord's on the other. And if you don't do what God says, the devil's going to get you. And if you don't do, you've heard all that. The Bible says that we're to fear God. That doesn't mean, hey, watch out, God's going to zap you out. A lot of people believe that. A lot of people believe that if we don't do everything just right, God will zap us out all of a sudden. I'm going to tell you something. God loves me and you. Amen. We're special to Him. So what does fear God mean? Proverbs 8:13 says clearly what fear God means. It says to hate sin. To fear God is to hate sin. What does that mean, to hate sin? You know, Jesus did that, didn't He? Jesus loved the sinner, but He hated their sins. So we're to teach to the world, and what is sin, by the way? Sin is transgression of the law, 1 John 3:4. So my duty, your duty, is to share with the world about the Ten Commandments, because no matter how little or how big the sin is, it breaks one of God's Ten Commandments in some way. So we're to share with the world about the Ten Commandments. Still in verse 7, let's go on. Give glory to Him. Revelation 14, verse 7. Give glory to Him. How do you give glory to God? Well, we talked about this the other night. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat, drink, or whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God. So what does that mean? We are to share with the world that my body, your body, is a temple of God, and that we should care for it in everything we do. That means we should take care of our body. That means we should preach against drugs and alcohol and tobacco and things that are harmful to our bodies. That's part of the last message to the world, amen? Give glory to Him. How do you do it? By taking care of our bodies. Let's read on. The hour of His judgment is come. Now we talked about this the other night. Judgment hour. Are we going to all be judged? Yes, we are. We all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You can't stand in my place and I can't stand in your place. Every person will be in the judgment. Well, what is the judgment? What's the standard of the judgment? We learned that the Ten Commandments is the standard of the judgment. What is sin? Sin is breaking the Ten Commandments. How many here have ever sinned? We all have. The wages of sin is what? Man, this don't look good, does it? It's a judgment hour message. We're to share with the world. We're in the judgment. But don't miss this. Who's my attorney? Who's my judge? Jesus is everything. He's the mercy seat. Amen? Praise God. In the judgment, Jesus is the answer. And then it says this. Worship Him that made heaven and earth, the sea and the fountains of waters. Now wait a minute. How do you worship the God of creation? There's only one way. Hold your finger right here on this verse. And if you want to turn with me, you can. Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. I'm going to read it to you. It's the same verse in the fourth commandment that's here in Revelation 14. I'm going to read Revelation 14 again. Worship Him that made heaven and earth, the sea and the fountains of waters. Exodus 20 verse 11 says, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and He rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Let me tell you something. God's true church, true people, will be proclaiming to the world the Ten Commandments, but not only the Ten Commandments, they will emphasize the need to keep the true Sabbath. Wow. That's what it says. Still in Revelation 14, look at verse 8. "There followed another angel saying, 'Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of fornication.' The third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, 'If any man worship the beast, his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God.'" Let me ask you something. When was the last time you heard a sermon about the Antichrist, his mark, his name, and his number? If you've been coming to these meetings, you heard it in the last 4 weeks. Amen. Wow. These are the messages. Oh, don't miss this. These are the messages that we've been sharing for the last 4 weeks. Every part of this has been shared for the last 4 weeks in this meeting. It's the everlasting gospel that is going around the world. But let me share something with you. When a message goes, there's always a response. Right? Good or bad response. Listen to the good response. It's right here in the verse. Revelation 14, look at verse 12. Look what comes out of this everlasting message that's going to all the world. It says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." Wow. As the gospel goes, people will respond all over the world through TV evangelism, through the preaching of the Word, through missionaries, through the printed page. This is the everlasting gospel that goes to the world, and people respond by doing what? By receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and allowing Him to write His law in their hearts and minds, and they keep His commandments, including the Holy Sabbath day. Wow. What a message. What a message in God's Word. Paul Harvey says, "Now I'll tell you the rest of the story. The part that I shared with you before was, hey, my life experience and how the Lord changed my life and how that little Sunday school teacher in the Methodist church, because I was a little boy growing up, she would tell me every Sunday I'd get a chance to go to church, she'd say, 'Johnny, never forget Jesus loves you.' And I've never forgotten that. But the more I studied my Bible, the more I searched the Scriptures, I had to search for a church that had not united with the Antichrist system, that had not united with the paganism and the papacy and the powers that be. And I had to search for a church that believed in all the commandments of God, not just 9 of them, but all 10 of them. I had to find a church that believed in preaching the gospel to all the world. And I'm going to tell you something, I've been amazed as I've traveled this world for the last 30 some years. Every country I've ever been to, I see two dominant churches. One is the Roman Catholic Church with their educational system and all the things that go along with it. And the other is the Seventh-day Adventist Church, sitting very close, preaching and proclaiming the truth to the world. Wow. Two women. One has taken and changed God's Word, and the other is proclaiming and saying, "Get back to the Word." You know, if God has given us characteristics and marks in the Bible to find the Antichrist, the false church, Don't you think He would give us marks in the Bible to find the true church? And He has. Listen to Him. It's got to arise after 1798 because that's when the 1260 years ended. It would keep all the commandments, including the Sabbath. It would have the spirit of prophecy. And it would preach the last warning message to the world called the Three Angels of Revelation 14. Now here's what happened in the 1800s. Many churches arose. Church of Christ, Church of God, Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, and many, many other religions, including the Seventh-day Adventist Church. So what you've got a whole slew of churches that arose, just like the prophecy said they would arise. But it said the true one would arise. And so you start looking at the teachings of all these different denominations, and yes, it's interesting, they're all right on the first one. They all arose after 1798. And then the second one, though, most of them would say, yeah, we keep the commandments, but they miss on one of those, and that's the Sabbath. And even some of them said that they had the spirit of prophecy. But then, the big one was, they had proclaimed the three angels' message, identify the Antichrist, his mark, his name, his number. And sad to say, some of those that arose after 1798 started that. But then they stopped. And here's what they say today. It was truth then, but it's not truth today. Let me tell you something. Truth does not change. My Jesus is the same today, tomorrow, and forevermore. And I'll be the first to stand before you tonight and say, praise God that God has called a church into existence. And by the way, you'll find in the Seventh-day Adventist Church around the world, people from the Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, Catholic, Pentecostal, all right on down the line, people who have come together to proclaim the last message. Let me make something very clear tonight. I don't like when people get up and say our church is the only one that's going to heaven. I think that's wrong because this church, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, does not believe we're the only ones going to heaven. When we get to heaven, we're going to see a lot of people that came out of the Baptist, came out of the Methodist, came out of the Lutherans, came out of the Catholic Church, and we're going to even see a few Seventh-day Adventists up there. But there's going to be people. God has a church that's going to proclaim the last message to the world. Amen. And so He's called us into existence, and that's why, as Paul Harvey says, and I'll tell you the rest of the story, that's why I'm a part of a church that believes in this book, from the book of Genesis through the book of Revelation, and they're spreading the gospel all over the world. Let me share something with you here. American Bible Society did a little study here a few years ago. They made up this paper. It's called Partners. And American Bible Society put down on a piece of paper all the different denominations. And your church, if you're not part of this church here, may be right here listed. But it gave a list of all the churches, their names. And then it tells you where they're proclaiming the gospel around the world. And to my amazement, when I looked over here on the Seventh-day Adventist Church, it's proclaiming the gospel to more countries than all the other denominations combined. Wow. Every day in this world, thousands are baptized, taking their stand to proclaim the message of God around the world. I've asked my ushers, if you'll pass those papers out real quick here for me. I've got a little paper I want to pass out to everyone here tonight. And if you'll make sure everybody gets a copy. And the reason I do this, and let me tell you why, this is about a decision. I have decided by the grace of God to walk in the light of God's Word. I choose to follow Jesus and His wonderful truths. Sometimes in a meeting like this, you just don't know who the people are making a decision. Because sometimes, people who have been coming to church every Sabbath, but they haven't made a decision to follow Jesus completely. And this gives you an opportunity, because this coming Sabbath morning, we're having a special baptism. And here's what we do in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. We do a baptism, but we also allow people, if they say, I believe this is truth, I want to follow it. If they've been baptized by immersion and they've been following Jesus since their baptism, then praise God, we accept that. And that's called profession of faith. But listen to the paper. Now that everybody has a copy, listen to what it says. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Number one there, the first little blank says, I want to be baptized the way the Bible teaches. Maybe you haven't been baptized by immersion. Maybe you were sprinkled, but you've never had that real true baptism that the Bible speaks about. The next one says, I've been baptized, but would like to be rebaptized. The next one says, I accept the truths I've learned by faith. This is profession of faith. If you've been baptized by immersion, you don't feel a need to be rebaptized, and you've been walking with Jesus, you may want to mark that one down. Or I want to be part of continuing the Reformation by proclaiming God's truths as found in the Bible. And the reason I give this, pass this out to everyone in the meeting, is the next part there gives the time of the baptism. It says, I want to be baptized Saturday the Sabbath. Or I want to be baptized next Sabbath. Or I want to be baptized at a future date because. And you don't have to put down the reason, but you can put down there a date. Now here's the reason for this. Dwight L. Moody, that great evangelist, he preached during the 1800s. A great man of God. I believe I'm right, wasn't 1800s? But he was preaching in Chicago one night to a large number of people. Almost the whole city came to hear him preach. And at the end of his sermon, he did something. He said, I'm going to give everybody here a few nights to think about making a decision for Jesus. And he said, when we come back in a few nights, he said, I'm going to ask you to make a decision. Well, that very night after his meeting, he went home, went to bed, and it was called the Chicago Fire, in which thousands and thousands of people perished in that fire. When he came back in a few nights to continue to preach, he stood before the people and he noticed that there were seats vacant because many of the people that he said to them, I'm going to give you time to think about this, perished in the fire. He said, I will never do that again. He said, when I have a call, I will have a call and give people that opportunity. In the same light, tonight, I believe this. I believe that when people make a commitment to follow Jesus and they mark it down, they say, I'm going to do it, they'll do it. But people who say, later on, there's always a reason for not doing it. The devil has the opportunity to work. I'm sharing this because I've been doing this for 30-some years and I've seen it over and over again. People who say, John, later, I know this is right, I know this is truth, but I'm going to do it later. Sad to say, many of them, that later never comes. Because the devil has a way to come in and cause problems and cause things to happen to keep us from walking with Him. So tonight, my prayer is this, that you'll pray right there where you are and that you'll mark this paper. And if it's baptism, if you've never been baptized by immersion, you want to be baptized, hey, mark that little thing there and put your name. You don't have to put your address or anything down here. Just put your name on the paper. And you're saying, John, I want to make a commitment. I accept the truths I've learned by faith. I want to be a part of continuing the Reformation. And I want to be baptized the way the Bible teaches. Whatever it is, mark it tonight, right now, as the Holy Spirit speaks to you.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and contingent financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.